Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded September 30th, 2018. This week's sermon, Jacob, From Devious to Authentic, by Carrie Eck.
So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Oh man, I can't begin to tell you how exciting it was to be in the Holy Land, to sing on a boat there on the Sea of Galilee, to stand on the Mount of Olives and see the Eastern Gate where Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, to stand on Mount Nebo and look out over the promised land that Moses looked out over and was not able to see, to sit in a synagogue in Magdala and know that Jesus had preached right in this area. The list goes on and on. And I picked up some Hebrew words while I was gone, and I want to just say this morning, mucho gracias to Frank Donato and Tom Weber and Greg Baker from the family leader, David Chase, for preaching the past three weekends while Jane and I, and there were eight others from New Hope, 16 other people from outside our congregation who were able to go. And I got a chance to listen to Dave preach last weekend. And I watched on the YouTube and our website the other two messages. And I just want to say this. If you missed any of the last three weekends, you need to go onto the website or YouTube and listen to those messages. They are biblical and practical and relevant. So much thanks. In fact, I feel guilty coming back, to be quite honest. They did so well. So have you ever asked yourself why a zebra has stripes? I know. That's one of those questions that we wrestle with every day of our lives. Now, there are many hypotheses, and fact of the matter is, scientists can't really agree amongst themselves why zebras have stripes, but I want you to note something in this picture. Zebras generally have a black nose, okay? You see that? And short ears. Those are but two reasons many believe that two animals in the Cairo International Zoo in Egypt are not zebras. And while the zoo officials insist these really are zebras, most everyone agrees they are donkeys that are made to look like zebras. Note the long ears on this animal, okay? And the nose isn't really black, and it doesn't take an expert to see that's not a really good paint job either on that donkey. A bigger question might be, why in the world would zoo officials want to deceive visitors about what this animal really is? In fact, I read also of a Chinese zoo in 2013 that tried to pass off this large dog as a lion. And we ask ourselves, why would people do that? And yet, truth be known, all of us from time to time practice a little deception, whether we inflate the facts just a little bit, twist the truths a little bit, fabricate information, maybe even outright lie. And because of that, I think a lot of us can relate to Jacob in the Old Testament. Jacob's life occupies a good portion of the book of Genesis, and hopefully you had some time to read that. And if you haven't read it, do so this afternoon or this evening. Jacob had a devious beginning to his life, and it ended up resulting in some mess. But God took Jacob's mess and transformed him and turned that mess into a powerful message that is still communicating God's love and God's grace to us today. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some Bible characters who, through wrong decisions, bad decisions, made a mess out of their lives, but in His grace, God took their messes and use them to proclaim a powerful message. I think we'll be able to relate to some of these stories. Genesis chapter 27. Again, you need to get some background on it. Let me just give you this. As we look here, beginning with verse 18, Isaac is 160 years old. All right? And I'll explain more here a little bit afterwards. Chapter 27, verse 18. Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here is the wild game. Now sit up and eat it so you can give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God put it in my path," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you really are Esau." So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's," Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands felt hairy, just like Esau. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. "But are you really my son Esau?" "Oh, yes, I am." Then Isaac said, "Now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing." So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come a little closer and kiss me, my son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed." Let's skip on down here to verse 30. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. He said, "Sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so you can give me your blessing." But Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" Esau replied, "It's your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, "Then who just served me wild game? I've already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came. And yes, that blessing must stand." When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too," he begged. But Isaac said, "Your brother was here. He tricked me. He has taken away your blessing." Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice." If you take out your outline there from inside of the bulletin, the first thing we note here from this story is this: sin always has consequences. Jacob and Esau were twin sons to Isaac and Rebekah. The Bible says that Jacob was holding his brother Esau's heel when the two of them were born. And his name means supplanter or holder of the heel, or another Hebrew translation is deceiver. And Jacob proved to live up to his name. Isaac was 60 years old when his twin sons were born. Esau loved the outdoors. Esau became a skillful hunter. And Isaac loved to eat the game that Esau would bring back, the food, the animals that Esau would bring back. Jacob, on the other hand, was a shepherd, preferred to stay at home. So while Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game that Esau would bring back to him, Rebekah loved Jacob more. His personality is probably more like mom's. He spent more time at home. Now, understand this. In the Jewish culture, the firstborn son always received a double portion of his father's estate. So, if a father had five sons, his estate would be divided up into six portions. Each of the five sons would get one portion, but the oldest son, the firstborn son, would get two portions, a double portion. So Isaac, in our story, when we picked it up here, is approximately 160 years old. He could no longer see. He told Esau, his oldest son, to go hunt some game, to bring it back, prepare it, and so that Isaac could eat of that food and then pronounce his blessing upon Esau as the firstborn. So Esau went off to do what Dad had asked him to do. But Rebekah, Isaac's wife, overheard the instructions that Isaac had given to Esau. And after Esau left, she schemed with Jacob, the other brother, who went out and quickly killed two young goats. Rebekah prepared the meal just as she knew Isaac would like it. And then Jacob brought that back and passed himself off as Esau. Now, Esau was a hairy man, unlike Jacob, so Rebekah put some animal skins on his hands and his arms and his neck. She dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes so that when Isaac, who couldn't see, touched Jacob, Isaac would think that was Esau. When he got close to Jacob, he could smell the clothes that Esau wore. And so Isaac went ahead and gave the blessing that rightfully belonged to Esau as the firstborn and gave it to Jacob. Well, as you might guess, when Esau heard about this, he was livid. He was so angry, he was determined he was going to kill his brother the moment their father passed away. When Rebekah heard what Esau was scheming to do, she sent Jacob far away, 400 plus miles away, to find a wife, a job, start a family. Sin always has consequences. Because of his deception, Jacob ended up living far away, 400 plus miles, far away from his parents and his cousins and his extended family. And there weren't any cars and there weren't any airplanes with which he could return on home for the weekend. There weren't any cell phones. There wasn't any internet that he could communicate with family on a regular basis. It just wasn't there. Furthermore, for 20 years, Jacob had to wonder if his brother Esau might pursue him. He had to live in fear, wondering if Esau might come and visit him. Jacob's deception led to his life being a royal mess. And I'm here to tell you that's what happens when we sin. Because sin always has consequences. And sin oftentimes results in us being in a royal mess. My mom used to tell us when I was younger, and maybe your parents told you the same thing, that if you lie once, you're going to have to lie again to support your first lie. You ever hear that from your parents? Francis Dugan wrote a poem that says, and I'm quoting here, "One lie leads to another. That always is the case. Your first lie for deception and your second to save face. One lie leads to another lie if what you say is untrue. Then another lie you must tell, and your lies won't stop at two." Because sin always has consequences. Gaetano Marino was vacationing with his family in Terracina, Italy in August of 2012. I mean, from all appearances, this family was living the good life. A few months earlier, the 48-year-old Marino had appeared in the front row of a program on a nationally televised talent show, cheering on his 12-year-old daughter who had dedicated a song to her dad. But Gaetano Marino was involved in the Italian mafia. He was nicknamed Stumpy because 20 years earlier, both of his hands had been blown off when an explosive that he was attempting to set for someone else went off prematurely. He learned then, sin always has consequences. And instead of learning from that experience, instead of changing his ways, he kept climbing the ladder until eventually he was in charge of the Camaro family that controlled the entire cocaine business throughout Italy. Wonder what life was like in that family. To us, it looked like everything was going well. To us, we would say, wow, they had all of the things that anybody could ever want. But I wonder how often he worried about maybe somebody in the organization betraying him. I wonder how often he was concerned about his life and the lives of his family members. And then finally, in August of 2012, as he was walking from the beach to his hotel, he was shot in the head 4 times, in the back 6 times. You see, sin always has consequences. Before the people of God entered into the promised land, they conquered the land east of the Jordan River. And the tribes of Reuben and Gad came to Moses, and they requested of Moses that they be allowed to settle on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, they requested this of Moses, and they assured Moses, we will arm ourselves for battle, and we will go with the rest of the Israelites and do battle on the west side of the Jordan and help them to be able to claim the land and settle there as well. Moses granted their request, allowed them to settle their families on the east side of the Jordan River, but he did so with this reminder, if you fail to do this, if you fail to keep your promise, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Why is that? Because sin always has consequences. There are consequences to every choice we make. Paul writes in the New Testament, those who live to satisfy their sinful nature will reap decay and death. That's just the way it is. Those who live to please the Spirit of God will reap everlasting life. James says that sin begins with a wrong desire, and ultimately sin gives way to death. I recall in the Old Testament, when God warned Cain, because he knew that Cain was wanting to take his brother Abel's life, God told him, listen, if you do the right thing, you will be accepted and blessed by God. But if you do the wrong thing, sin is knocking at your door, and sin wants to control you. Well, you know the rest of the story. He went ahead and took his brother's life anyway. I'm just saying that whatever the sin is in our lives, whether it's lying, whether it's deception, whether it's greed, whether it's lust, whether it's some kind of an addiction, all of which we're going to look at these in the next few weeks, sin always has consequences. And those consequences are always messy. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. Jacob found that out. The Bible characters that we're going to look at in the next few weeks found that out. And I dare say that we've probably all discovered that same truth in our own lives from time to time. But I got some good news. God always has a plan. Always. God had a plan for Jacob's life. Jacob would have 12 sons, and a whole tribe of people would be born through each of those 12 sons. And those 12 sons would have, there would be 12 tribes, and that would comprise the nation of Israel, the Messiah, who would bring salvation to everyone that would believe in him. The Messiah would be born through the family, the tribe of Judah. Jacob and his entire family would eventually relocate to Egypt. God took them there to spare them from the worldwide famine. And after 400 plus years in Egypt, God would deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. He would lead them to the land of Canaan, where they would permanently settle. God had a plan for Jacob's life. You better believe God has a plan for my life. And God has a plan for your life as well. The prophet Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord say to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations," he told Jeremiah. And what was true of Jeremiah, what was true of Jacob, is also true of us. God knew who we were before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. God had a plan for each of our lives before we were ever born. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster. They are plans that are filled with a future and with a hope." In the New Testament, Paul preached to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17. He said, "From one man, God created all the nations upon the face of the earth, and it is God who decides when each nation rises amongst all of the others, and it is God who decides when nations will fall. It is God who determines the boundaries of each of those nations. In God we live, in God we move, in God we have our very existence," Paul said. "We are God's masterpiece," Paul writes. "God makes us brand new in Jesus Christ so that God can work through us. He can do in us the things that He planned for us to do a long time ago. No one and nothing is complete without Jesus Christ. Jesus holds all things together. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Everything exists because of Jesus. Everything and everyone is missing if they don't have Jesus. I'm not just talking about missing something. I'm talking about missing the main thing. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul says, "For from Christ and through Christ and for Christ are all things. To Jesus Christ be glory forever and ever. Amen." You hear what God's trying to tell us? My life, your life, doesn't have any meaning or significance apart from Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, my life and your life has eternal meaning, eternal purpose. And so I'm just saying, if you feel like there's something missing in my life, I'm telling you, what you're needing is Jesus Christ. A master of martial arts once asked Bruce Lee to teach this master everything Bruce Lee knew about martial arts. Bruce Lee held up two cups. Each of them was filled with liquid. He said to this individual, he said, "The first cup represents all of your knowledge about martial arts. The second cup represents all of my knowledge about martial arts." He said, "If you want to fill your cup with my knowledge of martial arts, you must first empty your cup of your knowledge." There's a spiritual truth there. The Apostle Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Augustine was a Christian theologian and leader of the church 1,600 years ago. Frank quoted him 3 weeks ago in his sermon as saying, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Christ." We're never going to discover the meaning of life until we empty ourselves of self and fill ourselves with Christ. Meaning and purpose, they're not found in relationships. They're not found in careers. They're not found in money or things. They're found in Jesus. And that's why Paul said, man, I want to intimately, passionately, deeply know Jesus Christ. And if we're going to passionately, intimately, deeply know Jesus Christ, I got to empty my life. I got to empty my cup of everything I keep pursuing, thinking it's important. I can't be filled with Christ until I'm emptied of me. God's plans always trump sin's consequences. Always. Always. We see the mess that Jacob made in his life, and you're gonna have to read through a lot of that to see that mess. But Jacob changed over the years. He got to the point where he recognized everything he had, and he had a lot, came from God, and he tithed of that in appreciation to God for all that he had received. In Genesis 32, he wrestled with God and would not let go until God blessed him. And in Genesis chapter 35, God appeared to Jacob a second time, and he blessed Jacob. He changed Jacob's name, which meant deceiver. Now he changed it to Israel, which means one who has prevailed with God. Jacob would one day bring his message to the Pharaoh of Egypt. He would stand before Pharaoh sharing this message that he had learned. Jacob had messed up his life, but with God on his side, he had prevailed. He had overcome. In this world, Jesus said, you will experience trials. You'll experience troubles. Sometimes we're going to make a mess of our lives. But when we have Jesus on our side, we will prevail. We will be more than conquerors. The Bible says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's plans that will prevail. The Lord Almighty says, as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will happen. Is there anything that happens in this universe that surprises God? Is there anything that takes place in the universe that catches God by surprise? God never learns about something after the fact, after it's already occurred. God sees all and he knows all. God not only knows what we do, but he knows why we do what we do. God not only knows what we are, but he knows why we are the way we are. And God's thoughts are so much higher and so much greater than our thoughts. God's ways are so much better. They are right every time. God is able to take everything that happens in my life and your life, all of the bad things and the good things, all of the bad people and the good people, and use them for our good and his glory. In the scheme of things, caterpillars are not necessarily the most beautiful thing in all of the world. In addition, they're slow and slimy. But when a caterpillar undergoes the process of metamorphosis, it becomes a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis is a work on the inside of a caterpillar that eventually shows up on the outside as a butterfly. There's one reason a butterfly can fly. I did not know this, but its wings are strengthened by the work it has to go through to get out of its cocoon. And so if some well-meaning human being would come along and say, oh, I feel sorry for that butterfly in that cocoon. I'll break the cocoon. I'll rip it open so it doesn't have to go through that. It won't help it. It will not be able to fly because its wings are strengthened through the process of breaking through the cocoon. If there is no struggle, there will be no flight. In the same way, God uses the struggles we go through in life, the messes, yes, that sometimes we make. And through His Holy Spirit, He transforms us. He changes on the inside and the way we think. And ultimately, that change on the inside can be seen in the way that we act on the outside. At the time when Jacob was deceiving his brother and going through all of that and making a mess out of his life, who would have ever thought at that time that Jacob would be such a powerful spokesperson for God? Who would have ever thought that Jacob would undergo such a powerful transformation? But with God, Jacob prevailed. And I'm telling you this morning, with God, you will prevail over anything. Even the messes that we make ourselves. That transformation is sometimes going to be hard and sometimes it's going to be ugly. But it is necessary. And the God who used Jacob's mess as ultimately a pulpit for Jacob's message is the same God who takes our messes and eventually turns them into our pulpit and our message for Him. Let's pray. Lord, nobody knows better than You the wrong choices that each of us has made, the messes that we have made, even things that others don't know about us. You know all of that. Nothing's hidden from You. Nothing surprises You. And yet You love us anyway. Thank You for the example of Jacob's life. Thank You for the examples we're going to look at in the next few weeks of others who have struggled as well. And God, the encouragement it gives us in knowing that these great people of faith messed up from time to time and they came through victoriously and we can too. In fact, I pray this week, Lord, I pray this week that You would present us opportunities to share with others Your goodness and Your greatness in our lives. Thank You for calling us here today. Thank You for Your word, and it's so powerful. And we pray that You would change us on the inside in a manner that will ultimately be reflected in the way we act on the outside. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team, my warriors, prayer warriors, you know who you are. If you would kind of make yourselves available, whether it's here or down in the chapel. And when we conclude our service, if you just have area of prayer need, whatever the Lord, the Holy Spirit might be laying on your heart, these individuals would love to just spend some time praying with you. If you'd like to know more about New Hope in 5 minutes, see us over here. There'll be somebody, one of the staff over there by the patio, to share that with you. We have a lot of royalty, homecoming candidates amongst our congregation. And if you would let us know, call in, if your student, your child, or somebody from your school is homecoming royalty, call in, and next week we'll go ahead and share those. And then I just want to give you a quick heads up. Next week is Life Chain from 2 to 3, and I'll tell you more about that next week. But unless you want to hear me sing, you are dismissed at this time, all right? So there you go.